Hello, tonight we pick out the best children's books this Christmas and review This Is England 88, a new TV spin-off series of the Shane Meadows film. But we start with the Oscar-winning actress Meryl Streep. She's now starring in a film about the life of Britain's first woman Prime Minister, which opens in cinemas in early January. The Iron Lady starts in the present with Margaret Thatcher in her 80s. Her husband Dennis has been dead for several years, and her daughter Carol is increasingly concerned by her elderly mother's failing memory. The time span and subject matter covered by The Iron Lady makes it an epic role, a natural for Meryl Streep, who has been nominated for an Oscar an astonishing 16 times. She's won twice for Sophie's Choice and Kramer vs. Kramer. The producer of The Iron Lady, Damien Jones, said he thought of casting Meryl Streep after seeing her playing the terrifying magazine editor in The Devil Wears Prada. I asked Streep what her reaction had been when she was offered the Thatcher role.
Yes, that was my first thought. Because I thought, well, there is no other woman leader who looms so large in last century, or this one. I was very intrigued to read what the take would be, because I knew that opinion was very deep and vehement on both sides of the argument about her and her policies and what place she'd had in the evolution of both of our economies.
Because the film starts in the present, doesn't it? So Lady Thatcher is living on her own. She's still mourning Dennis, even after all these years. She's lucid for most of the time, but clearly suffering from some sort of memory impairment, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's. She is a woman looking back on her life and looking back at the loss of power.
Yes, and that was sort of the part that intrigued me the most, and that's the part that's completely imagined on our part, because we don't know the day-to-day, but I'm interested in older ladies. Women are undervalued in society, and older ladies are sort of the least interesting to certainly the movie audience. So it intrigued me that this film would have an ambition to look back. It's that moment in life where the walls between the present day and the past are sort of more permeable. But I have to say, I experience things like this all the time. I'm sitting here, and I'm very aware that the waiter just came in and brought our coffee, and at the same time I'm thinking, oh God, if I have coffee and I haven't really eaten anything, I'm going to fall over because I have jet lag. What was the question? And here I am on the radio thinking 25 different things, and also, have I met her before? Because she's so familiar. And our lives, our inner lives, are so much more complicated. And I think just the skin gets thinner over time. And the ability to shut out things and let others enter, it gets more difficult. So I can relate to this. It's a road we'll all be on soon.
Another thing that struck me when I was watching the film, I went to university when Thatcher first came to power, and, you know, obviously, you know, all university students hated her, and it was the miners' strike, and there was huge unemployment. And then I became a news reporter, and one of my first stories that I covered was the Lockerbie bombing. Mm. And she came to the site on that Scottish hillside the day after the plane had come down, and all the press rushed to stand in front of it, the camera crews and so on. And I was a radio reporter, and I went forward, and I got knocked over by a TV cameraman and sent flying down the hill. And Thatcher stopped the whole thing, waded through these banks of crews, leant down, put her hand out and said, young lady, help me up, brushed me off, and then ticked off all the men around, because they were mainly men. And I had these huge mixed emotions, because this was a woman who, as I say, you know, most people felt quite hostile to, and yet there was this moment of humanity. She was helping me, woman to woman. Mm-hmm. And watching your portrayal of her in the film, I thought you know, you do manage to get both of those sides, and that's not easy.
Well, I think life is very complicated. People are much more complicated than we imagine. And it's the potential in that makes a story worth telling. You know, I just have been raising money for we're trying to build a National Women's History Museum in Washington, D.C., and I just recently gave my salary for the Thatcher movie to that cause, and I had assembled a bunch of groundbreakers to take a picture in Washington, and among them was Madeleine Albright, and she said to me, you know, I didn't agree with anything, any of her policies. She said, but she was the only one who stood up with us in Bosnia. And she said, I'll never forget it. She said, I know what it's like to be the first.
Do you think it helps portraying Thatcher that you are an outsider, an American? Because, of course, there have been some voices raised to say, you know, why isn't a British actress doing this? But actually, a British actress might have come with some baggage. Do you think it's easier when you come from the outside?
Well, the interesting thing about Thatcher was that she came from the outside. She entered a world that she wasn't supposed to be in. And I very much felt that way when I walked into the first rehearsal and there were 45 of the finest British actors, all hideously well-prepared to play all the characters, the ministers and military people that they were going to portray. And I really did feel like, oh, my God, a real phony. But they made me feel so welcome. They were absolutely great, but I had that sense of what it must have felt like to walk into Parliament for her those first days. It must have been something.
Because there were some great scenes that you do in Parliament. I mean, for instance, you know, when she's Education Secretary and she's standing there with, you know, everybody roaring at her. Mm. That must have been quite scary doing that scene, wasn't it?
It was very scary doing it, but the scariest thing was the second day of shooting. We shot the scene where she humiliates Geoffrey Howe right at the end, the downfall.
In front of all the cabinet.
And she's horrible. I mean, horrible to him.
Yes. She's uber Thatcher. What the left imagined her to be all along the way. But to me, it's just such a great story about what it takes to be a leader, what it takes to stand up to that level of disdain, hatred, contempt every day. Unrelentingly, and to take it and to morph it into your own agenda and get stuff done. I mean, I think it's sort of amazing and horrifying. And so that moment, the second day of shooting, when we sort of basically shot her, it was sort of a bath of fire. And it was weirdly, even though I was browbeating Phyllida, how could you do this to me, shoot this the first day? It was good that we started that way, because everything else seemed a little bit easier.
Let's talk about your preparation. I mean, you've got the voice. How did you do it?
Well, I thought I'd have a lot more time to prepare, because I felt, you know, some jobs demand a lot and some don't. And this one, I thought, shooting in February, I thought, well, I better start getting ready in October. But a series of events happened in my life, and my husband had a couple of operations, and my best friend died, and it was the Christmas from hell, and I didn't prepare. I was trying to read as much as I could. I read John Campbell's book, and Hugo Young, and Woodrow Wyatt's diaries, which were hilarious. But like, I really couldn't work on her. I was doing all the sort of back work, but not the interior work, the generative work. So when I first arrived here in England, we had 1 week of rehearsal, and I shut myself up in a room and sort of 24 hours a day became Margaret Thatcher. My makeup man would kind of slide food in on a tray under the cell door, you know.
And you listened to her speeches over and over again?
I listened to her speeches. I read her books. I assumed her posture. I sat and stood and walked, and there was nothing that wasn't Margaret Thatcher in that room.
I also know that as part of your preparation, you went to Prime Minister's Questions at the House of Commons. What was that like for you?
That was really fascinating. It's so different from our American system, which is very often you'll go to Congress and it'll be empty. Nobody's there. And, you know, there's staff members walking around. Somebody's barking up at the front. No one's listening. And the few that are there are on their Blackberries. But Parliament was contentious. It was live. I mean, the Prime Minister's Question Time. And so intimate, so personal, that the two sides face each other. I can't help but think that's a very, very good... But they have to get more seats. They can't really fit everybody. So there's a lot of disgruntled...
You were worried about the overcrowding.
I was. I said, why are they letting the tourists sit down? Here are the people trying to do their jobs, and they have to stand around.
Apparently, you visited on the day that there was a student demo outside, and when you and Phyllida Lloyd, the director, walked out of the House of Commons, it was past all these banks of camera crews, and no one recognised you because they weren't expecting to see Meryl Streep. And I wondered, does that, I mean, because you are a bit of a chameleon, you look so different in all your films. I mean, are you able to walk the streets of New York where you live pretty much incognito without people going, oh, it's Meryl Streep?
No, not anymore. The real kicker was when I got off the plane in Xi'an, China, and people recognized me there. Then I thought, oh, you're doomed. It's very nice in a way. It makes it like the world is a small town, and so people are normally very nice. But it does make you feel creepy that everybody knows your name and you don't know their name. It feels odd.
You've portrayed a lot of real people, and they're often strong, misunderstood women. I'm thinking about Karen Silkwood, the trade union activist, anti-nuclear campaigner, Karen Blixen out of Africa, the Australian mum, Lindsay Chamberlain, the Dingo Baby case, Ethel Rosenberg, the communist spy, TV chef, Julia Childs, now Thatcher. And this brings me to two questions about representing real people, I suppose. As an actor, and you're a very good mimic, are you trying to impersonate that person or mimic them, or are you looking for an interpretation, your interpretation of them? And is that a thin line?
Well, in this case, how people judged her, Margaret Thatcher, during the time that she was in power had very much to do with the way that she presented herself, with her hair, her voice, the way that she cocked her head to listen, the way that she jumped ahead answering the question, the way that she wouldn't let you ask the next, the way that she kept going. So much of capturing the essence of how the world saw her had to do with getting it right. I mean, normally my responsibility is getting the essence, but actually in this case it was important to me to get the actuality.
And of course she's still alive and there's her children around, and that must bring a sort of sense of responsibility. I mean, not just with Thatcher, but playing any living person.
Yes.
Do you feel that responsibility to those
it.
Who love them? And
I do. I feel there's a responsibility to getting it as close to the truth, but it's an imagined truth. I mean, we don't have access to her daily life now.
You're now over 60, which is normally a really difficult time for a movie actress, but you know, because there aren't that many good roles around for older actresses, we're always hearing. But on the other hand, you've had a whole string of successes recently, haven't you? You've had Mamma Mia, It's Complicated, Julie and Julia. I mean, are things getting better for older actresses, do you think?
I think they are, actually. There are more people in the decision-making echelons of our business, the financial end, who are in a position to greenlight pictures and who are women and who are interested in stories about women. And yet they have to be careful. They're playing in a what's still predominantly, at least in America, a men's field. So they make decisions not necessarily based on their heart all the time, but we get in. We sort of manage to infiltrate. We have infiltrated the ranks, the enemy ranks.
Well, this is a female director on this, Phyllida Lloyd. Is it very different working with female directors on set?
It's different working with this female director. I've not worked with many. I've only worked with one or two. Phyllida's unusually collaborative. There was no doubt about that. I had more to do and was included in the evolution of the script, making sure we all were aiming at the same end.
You have four children, and three of them are pursuing careers in acting. And did your heart sink when they decided to do that?
Yeah. You mean instead of taking the biochemistry degree? Yeah, they did. No, I'm proud of it. I mean, at least it meant that they have a good feeling about what it is that I do, and that makes me feel great that they want to carry on and think of how daunting it is for my girls to jump into the business where, you know, I'm so overpraised that it's ridiculous. And they just jump in without even thinking about it. They're just, and they're very talented and they're undaunted by all of it, which is really, it's very touching to me that they want to do it. And they're having some success, so that's good.
Meryl Streep, and The Iron Lady is in cinemas from the 6th of January.